Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, a new statehouse. Also, a tribute to our good friend, Jack Campbell. And the United States Supreme Court rules against Alabama, and Steve Marshall and Edmund LaCour are the big losers.
Hey, Benny! Looks to me like you're on the wrong side of the river!
Yeah, not the wrong side of the river on this one, the wrong side of history. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you had the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hi.
Yes.
I wanted to give a quick update. We are a few weeks away from having our new studio all finished up. It always takes longer than you think. Nothing ever goes as smoothly with construction as you want it to.
Got it, not the choice.
But we apologize for sometimes the audio is a little less than perfect, but we are working on all these things, and we should be in a new studio very, very soon. Well, some heads exploded earlier this week when the United States Supreme Court decided that Alabama could take their maps and shove them.
That's right.
They said they would not stay the illegal maps that Alabama wanted to use again. And I heard a lot of people, Josh and Susan, were really a little bit angry at Steve Marshall and Edmund LaCour for selling them a bill of goods that Brett Kavanaugh was going to overturn Section 2. Now, he still might, but not before the next election.
Yeah, we're going to have new maps, and we can all probably bid a fond farewell to Barry Moore as part of this. I don't think anybody with any legal background looked at this, other than the folks at the AG's office, took a look at this and thought that this was, at least in the short term, a winning strategy.
Yeah.
I think everybody looked at it and saw that if you openly defy the court's orders, they're not going to take kindly to that. And that's essentially what they are asking them to do, is to okay defiance. They're asking the Supreme Court to okay their defiance to the Supreme Court. And
yeah.
I can't imagine that there's going to be a situation in which the Supreme Court takes kindly to that.
I mean, Susan, Steve Marshall came out this past week and just blasted the court. I mean, like, he thought he was Donald Trump or somebody.
Yeah. And one thing that I will put in here, that one of the hopes that they had was to keep these maps in litigation until after the 2024. But Steve Marshall came out and said that this caused it to be separate but equal. Now, I'm sorry, Steve. You might want to go back and look up that definition. It's not what it means.
I mean, Josh, he also said that the court had racially gerrymandered the state's district maps. I was talking to a black friend of mine. He said, well, isn't that what they did originally?
It's unbelievable, really, to see the really stupid press release that he sent out. I mean, it's one of the more confusing things I think I've ever seen anybody do. But it is a lengthy message to the Alabama people. And, you know, in it, he talked about it being racially gerrymandered now. The maps that we submitted would have essentially cut in half a black person's voting power in this state. Okay, I mean, black voting age people represent 27% of our voting age population in this state, and we were essentially allowing them 14% influence. So we're talking about 50%, but they didn't even make it to the original 3/5, and so to then come on the backside of that and pretend, and look, I want to be clear too, they did it over and over and over and over again. So it wasn't an accident that we only that we had this discrimination going on here. This was purpose. This was purposeful. All right. And then to come on the backside of it and pretend as though the Supreme Court stopping you from doing that is somehow wrong is, man, that's really quite the attitude.
I mean, the thing that bothers me so much is that they knew that they were disenfranchising black voters. Mm-hmm. They had no more thought or anything about that than those state troopers and sheriffs at the foot of the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Now, they didn't do physical violence, but it's this type of political violence mm-hmm. that has marked the South as being racist. And I talked to a prominent Republican who said they could have passed fair maps originally, and it would have done so much good for Alabama's reputation. But they just couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it. And to the point that they reduced the percentage of minorities in the existing district that Terry Sewell represents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did this deliberately defy the Supreme Court and to defy the Voting Rights Act, which is why the Voting Rights Act is there and has to stay there.
Well go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out as well that they did it in addition. To me, one of the things that makes it so terrible is that it's in addition to all of what we've said, they're all white people, white Republicans are in firm control of this state. Okay. They have every statewide elected office. They hold every statewide elected office. They hold all the Supreme Court justice seats. They hold, all the appeals court seats. They hold currently six of the seven congressional seats and both Senate seats. So giving up one congressional district, possibly just making it 50-50, that you could win or lose, is somehow so egregious to them in their minds that they're going to fight this thing tooth and nail and try to overturn the Voting Rights Act to stop it.
Well, and this will affect, as some Republicans have said, they could lose the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. for a generation if the maps in the South are fairly redistricted.
Fairly redistricted.
Fairly.
There's your key word right there. They don't want them fairly redistricted. They want to maintain the same power no matter what it costs.
I think one of the other things that I found particularly interesting, and we're about out of time, but is that they came out and said these were activist judges. Now, two of the district judges were appointed by Donald Trump. And then three of the Supreme Court judges were appointed by Donald Trump. So did Donald Trump appoint liberal activist judges?
No, just so. Conservative activist judges.
Conservative
activist judges. They flipped. That's what they're saying now is that they flipped. They became liberal once they got.
But I think that's what happens. I think once you get on the court, you become very liberal because you have to read the law. But there you go. We'll be right back. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. I want to dive a little bit deeper into how the maps are redistricted and what that means. I think, Josh, you brought up one thing, is that the District 2 now, which was where Barry Moore held the seat or still holds the seat, that now has a basically a 50-50 chance of becoming a black district. Mm-hmm. That's one of the big things. Now, District 7 stays the same. So this sets up, if Barry Moore wants to run now, he would have to run potentially against someone like a Stephen Reed or someone like that. I don't think Barry has much of a chance of doing that. Or did he go over into Jerry Carl's? Was he going to Jerry Carl's district?
Yeah, I think he would go into Jerry Carl's district because those maps kind of take in his hometown where he lives. And so I believe that he would have to fight Jerry Carl for the seat in District 1, the new District 1 down in South Alabama. And Republicans face it's a really bad district for Republicans in District 2. Because of the makeup of that. Now, it's going to be split about 50-50 and, in terms of, black voting power and stuff and in that district. And actually, it'd be a little under 50% among black voters probably at the end of the day. But what you're left with, though, is going to be a candidate because you have that Wiregrass, that super conservative Wiregrass area. Down there, you're going to have a Republican candidate in order to win the Republican primary. That's going to have to be so far to the right that they can't really even see Attila the Hun. They're going to have to then reel all that they've said during the primary back in order to go and chase votes up in the Montgomery area, where it's even among white voters in that area, they're far more liberal or centrist than what they are in that Wiregrass area. And I just think that what's going to have to be said in the Republican primary is going to so turn off anybody that would vote for them up in Montgomery. It's not going to be close.
Right. And I don't think Barry Moore could beat Jerry Carl in a head-to-head. And I mean, Barry Moore is one of the Freedom Caucus guys. Jerry Carl is still fairly new there, but pretty much more of a Robert Aaron Holt or some of the other guys out there. More like a politician from Alabama. We already had a Mo Brooks. They were happy to see Mo Brooks go, happy to see him leave Washington, because he's the type of guy that would shut down the government like they're, what they want to do.
Right.
But I think you make an interesting point. I mean, I think we're going to see more people come out of the Montgomery area than anywhere else. I think that's going to be true. I mean, I would think Stephen Reed and there are probably some other folks that Josh, that are going to take a run at this. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's going to be a Montgomery-based seat for the most part. I think the lion's share of voters are going to come from Montgomery County, and I think that you're going to have the whoever wins on the Democratic side is going to come from Montgomery most likely. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine a scenario in which it is not a Democrat, a black Democrat, that wins that seat, which will be very interesting, for us to put, two black Democrats in Congress, potentially, I guess, with assuming Kerry Sewell holds onto that seat in District 7, which I think everybody is pretty comfortable that she will. But it's a it carries great potential because, the House is as close as the Senate is at this point in terms of numbers. Yeah. And so you're looking at potentially flipping, control of that thing based on what Alabama does.
And go ahead, Susan.
I think you're right about that. And it'll be interesting to watch the Republicans scratch for that position because they're just not going to be able to do it in Montgomery. And the voting population in Montgomery is a lot greater than people realize.
I think, former state senator Dick Brubaker has floated out there that he might run. I think Dick is a great guy and everything.
He is.
I just don't see it.
No.
But everybody ought to run who wants to run. That's the way I always look at it. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Because, as we've all talked about, it's going to affect the nation, not just Alabama.
Right. Yeah. Because this not turning over the Voting Rights Act will stifle Arizona, Texas, Mississippi, and all of these other ones that are wanting to do the same thing that Alabama is attempting to do now. So maybe this will even the playing field a little more.
Well, I think democracy works best when you have competing ideas and one party doesn't control everything. But But we'll see how that works out. You know, and we didn't get to talk about this last week, but because the Supreme Court ruled against the Baldwin County Bridge Company, who has the toll bridge down in the Gulf Coast, and they said that that the judge in that case, original judge in that case, ruled wrongly against the state, and construction on that free toll bridge, the state toll bridge, free bridge, was stopped. It was stopped. Now, it went back into effect this past Monday. They started construction on that after the Supreme Court said, no, no, we're not going to hear any more nonsense from the Baldwin County Bridge Company. Now, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, and it's true. I mean, this is not just a bridge that is trying to deliberately take money from the Baldwin County Bridge Company. Yeah. This bridge is needed for other reasons, like evacuation access. You know, how many people want to sit in the toll bridge line when they're having a heart attack and need to get to the hospital? You know, there's so much more to this than just poor old Baldwin County Bridge Company.
Josh, some of the people that were pushing the toll bridge as being their champion never seemed to grasp anything about the bridge company itself, because the company that owns Baldwin County Bridge Company is highly in favor of DEI and only works with ESG and their investments.
Oops.
So, I mean, all these ultra conservatives that were fighting for the bridge company, what happened?
Well, as a rule, I'm typically against, toll bridges, but now that I know that they're the bridge companies for DEI and ESG, I might be for this one. I did not know that. I actually like the Baldwin County Bridge Company a lot more now.
They are woke, baby, and their company is out of the Netherlands, Amsterdam.
That explains it. Yeah,
and they're coming for your money.
You use that bridge, that toll bridge, you are woke. That's all I got to say. All right, we have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back. Stay woke.
Your home is your most valuable asset. But what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, this past week, lawmakers signed a deal with the Retirement Systems of Alabama to build a new state house. We don't know the full price tag on that, but we know it's probably going to be cheaper than the ABC warehouse that they want to build for $100 million.
$100 million lease.
Yeah, $100 million lease on a warehouse for ABC store liquor in. I mean, Jesus. I mean,
lease.
My great grandpappy stored all his liquor under the house or out in the woods.
Yeah, I know, that's a lot of liquor. That's on the tab. But to the state house issue, I'm so torn. There's so many things. There's so many dilapidated buildings, especially school buildings, that need repair and stuff. I would like to see it done better. But on the other hand, I also understand that building was never set up for what it's being used for.
No.
And it is a real deterrent to the public going in and watching their government at work. And maybe if we build a facility that encourages public attendance, maybe the public will go and actually watch this group of buffoons that we've elected do and steal their money from them for their pandering projects. So, yeah, it would be nice.
But don't think for one second that is the ultimate consideration that the lawmakers are making this decision on, okay?
No.
We've all spent a lot of time in that building. That building has a lot of issues. Of course, stuff like no air conditioning in the press room. But
yeah, they don't like us.
Exactly. So, you know, yes, they need a new state house, but don't for one minute think that it has to do with the public. That's what they're saying. It has to do with their comfort.
I mean, and look, I'm all in favor of the building a new state house because it is dilapidated. Mm-hmm. It'll cost more to repair it, to keep repairing it than...
God help you, we have to be in that building in August. Oh, my God. Word.
And again, I mean, there are places that should be compliant with the Americans with Disability Act.
That are not.
Mm-hmm. And these are problems that we have that need to be addressed. And again, the price tag on that, and I don't think they'll store as much liquor in the state house as they...
I don't know about that.
Don't underestimate that.
Well, you know, the old saying was, hide your liquor and your women in your wallet, because the legislature was coming to town. But
right.
Anymore, I think it's a, you know, that we've got so many religious folks down there, they have to hide their liquor.
They do have to hide their liquor.
Hide their own liquor. And there are plenty of women floating around and a few men, I think. And so, you know, you don't have to hide everything, but there you go.
They will know, yeah. they anticipate knowing the actual cost once the design has been completed.
Right. And RSA is doing the design build. And so it we know from the look of the RSA buildings in Montgomery and around the state that they will be nice. It will be a nice.
My understanding is also that the legislature won't necessarily have to pay it all in one chunk.
Right.
There's a possibility they may be able to lease it from RSA for 25 years, like a lease to own situation.
Well, you know, Josh, and one of the smart things about this is the RSA is building, the Retirement Systems of Alabama.
Which the legislature hates.
Who takes care of our, until they love them.
I know.
Who takes care of our retirees. Mm-hmm. And so the state's buying it from them, or leasing it from them, and that money goes back to the coffers of the retirees. That's a good solution.
Yeah, we should. Honestly, I don't understand how that's not mandated to happen in every possible scenario that we do that, and we should do it for every retiree on the state dime, and you know, and make sure for every system that we can to pay for things. Matter of fact, we should figure out a system where we're leasing with all the construction we got going on in this state and $100 million warehouses. We should figure out how to dump that money back into Medicaid expansion is what we ought to do.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, that's a mean, you know.
We are awash in money, man. We got
apparently,
a ton of money.
We're doing very well. If you own a construction business in and around Montgomery, it's going to be a good Christmas.
Well, I want to take this last part, a bit of a sad note. Our good friend and colleague, Jack Campbell, passed away just recently on the 23rd. He died at home. And Jack was one of the most funny guys I've ever known, but also someone with impeccable integrity and meant a lot to all of us.
And a giant heart.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I mean, Josh, you and Jack used to spar quite a bit on this show, and I know you have some fond memories.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Jack and I probably agreed on about five things ever politically. But, man, I don't know that there is a human being on this planet that I have laughed at more or with than Jack Campbell. And I mean, we had such a good time whenever we were together. And yeah, I miss him. And, you know, I miss hearing the, how you doing, forever. And it's just, you know, and he would always call me No Ty Johnson. And it was just great. I mean, he was just a great, great guy. And everybody loved Jack.
Yeah, when you went out to eat with him, you knew it was going to be 30 minutes before you could order because he knew everybody in the restaurant and would stop and talk to him. But the one thing Charlana Spencer and I would always say was that you can't eat lunch with Jack. You can go to lunch with Jack, but you can't eat lunch with Jack because you're laughing so hard you're afraid you're either going to choke on your food or spit it all over everybody at the table.
Yeah. Well, I think Jack,
Spencer at that time.
I think we can all agree that Jack Campbell was one of the finest human beings we have known.
Mm-hmm. Jack Campbell, fine man about town, conservative radio host, and one of my favorite people on the planet.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hello.
Y'all
Jack.
Doing good?
Hey, Jack.
All right. And Jack Campbell, one of the great guys, a conservative activist and radio host.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, Jack.
Good.
Conservative before conservative was cool.
Yeah. What is that?
But I'm back to kind of drifting right again.
It's like where it used to be hip to be square.
Right.
No, you're right in the sweet spot.
I have
Jack.
The hips, all right.
Yeah. Well, hi guys.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Yeah. Glad to have you and Jack back on the show.
Yeah. How you doing?
Fun time with me and Jack.
That is, it is.
The crossfire.
Fist
the
cuffs.
Right. Not only was Mickey Hammond sentenced to 3 months in prison, federal prison, but we now have learned that he's probably facing some state issues coming down the road.
Well, that's what it sounds like, and he just better hope he doesn't hear that song when he's in prison. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine.
You're so fine, you blow my mind up, Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
The misfortune of others.
That too.
How's your shamrock, Jack?
I hadn't checked it lately.
That mobile leprechaun, we're still looking for that guy.
Yeah.
Can we believe anything that comes out of his mouth anymore?
No.
That's the tragic part.
He is a congenital liar.
Yeah. You had to bring up genitals.
Generals, attorney general.
Attorney general.
I mean, we wish Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. all the luck in the world. He ain't that Robert Kennedy Jr.
Do you know that?
You know, well, I'm pretty sure.
He wouldn't be polling at 50% if he was.
maybe on the Democrat side. Jack, you always have a way of just saying that glass is not only half empty, it's dirty and cracked.
No, I don't even have a glass.